Good morning. My sermon topic for today is Be Brave for Peace's Sake. So if you would join me in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for sending me as your messenger on today. Lord, I ask that you speak through me. I ask that you be present with us in this space. Open up our ears and hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you listen carefully to the scripture readings, you may be slightly confused. And if you have one of those red letter Bibles, I used to have them when I was a kid, those Bibles where Jesus' words are in red, then you may be very confused. Because both scripture texts should appear red in those red letter Bibles, because these are all Jesus' words. So how can Jesus say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called children of God," and then say, "I have come not to bring peace, but a sword"? For years, I did not understand Matthew 10, and it did not make sense to me. If you know me well, you know that I am a peaceful person. I love harmony amongst all creation. Even my favorite places are the beach, nature trails, parks, any peaceful place. And when there is conflict around me, my initial response is to find ways to make peace with all the parties. I am that person that will go in the middle of a fight, especially if there are people I know, to break it up, to get everyone calm and peaceful again. So I am better when everyone around me is happy. So I also try to be at peace with all around me. And then one day, I grew up and matured and realize that I was often hurting myself so other people can be happy. And there were times when I felt like I needed a sword or something to protect me because I got tired from working hard for everyone else's happiness. So I thought I was starting to understand this text in Matthew 10. But although I believe that Jesus can identify with me, I don't think Jesus is saying for me to get my frustration out on everyone for not considering my needs while I work to meet theirs. So then, what is Jesus saying? Well, first, let's look at Matthew 5 and 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." This scripture is one of the nine Beatitudes. The Beatitudes starts at verse 3 and end at verse 11. The Beatitudes are blessings for believers that Jesus names during his Sermon on the Mountain. One of the blessings are for peacemakers. This is the only place in the Bible where we find the Greek word erinopeo. That is translated here to mean peacemakers. This word is defined as one who bravely declare God's terms to make another whole. I also looked this up in the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary, and it defines the term as those who actively work to bring about reconciliation where there is hatred and enmity. So I found these definitions interesting, so I have to repeat it. So peacemakers, bravely, the one who bravely declares God's term to make another whole, those who actively work to bring about reconciliation where there is hatred and enmity. These definitions have nothing to do with trying to make people happy. So I think of certain people such as Martin Luther King, Maya Angelou, and many other activists, writers, preachers, teachers, artists, and homemakers who were encouraged or who were and are courageous to give a message of love where there is hate, to give a message of unity where there is division, to give a message of freedom where there is oppression, to give a message of life where there is death. These are the peacemakers. These are the children of God. These are the ones who Jesus called blessed. Now that we understand this definition of peacemakers, it is likely that these blessed children of God are not the ones who are voted most likable. In fact, they are often perceived as troublemakers. I imagine that those who identify these children of God as troublemakers are the people who Jesus described in Matthew 10:39. The first part of that verse says, "Those who find their life will lose it." Again, for years, this scripture has perplexed me, but I began to understand this verse as I began to understand systematic injustice and privilege. Those who find their life are those who want to hold on to the power, privilege, and control that their lives afford them at the cost of others. These are the people who may be aware of the injustices around them, but don't care because it doesn't affect their lives. They may say, "Too bad for those people who live in the low-income rural areas and have to breathe in toxins from the landfill." They may say, "Too bad for those people of color that have to live in fear for being killed by the police." They may say, "Too bad for those women who say, 'Me too,' and have experienced violation of their bodies." They may say, "Too bad for those people who are facing long-term prison sentences because of the unjust criminal system." Too bad, too bad, too bad for those other people. My life is good, and I don't want anything to mess that up. But Jesus tells us, those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. What does it mean to lose my life for Jesus' sake? Well, let's look back at verse 34 in Matthew 10. Jesus is talking to his disciples here in this chapter of Matthew 10. Earlier on in the chapter, verses 5 through 7, it says, "The 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near." Some scholars believe that this text is not necessarily talking about Jesus just talking to the 12 apostles, who we know to be the disciples, but the 12 here represent all of Jesus' followers that were there. So, if you identify yourself as a follower of Jesus, then Jesus is talking to you here. And I want you to picture yourself being in the presence of Jesus as he speaks. Jesus is calling you to go out to your people, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your community, to proclaim the good news. In verse 16, we read Jesus saying, "See, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Now, does hearing this give you anxiety? Why is Jesus telling me to go out to others to proclaim the good news when I can just continue on with my normal routine. I do good to everybody. I love everybody. I treat all people with the love of God. I don't want to have to deal with any drama. But wait, Jesus calls us to lose our lives for his sake. This means we are going to get uncomfortable before we get comfortable. Even when Jesus was walking on earth, injustice existed. Case in point, Jesus was given the death penalty when he was innocent. That is injustice. We are called to be peacemakers, to be brave enough to share the love of God and the love for all of God's creation to our communities. This means we may have to tell our beloved parents, in-laws, or siblings at that Thanksgiving table to not call that person that condescending word because that person is God's child too. We may have to tell our beloved coworker to stop stereotyping that other coworker and get to know them and love them for who they are. We may have to call out our family members when we notice them, avoid interaction with anyone who appears different. Being brave in this manner is not always easy. This can cause separation between our family, our friends, coworkers. But Jesus says in verse 37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's not worthy of me. A couple chapters later in Matthew 12, verse 46, we read where Jesus is proclaiming good news to the crowds when he was informed that his mother and brother wanted to speak to him. Jesus chose to not stop teaching to go out to talk to his family. Instead, he acknowledged the people listening to him as his own family. Will you stand up for God's love, even if it means standing up to your loved ones? Jesus says, do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus was a peacemaker. Jesus came with bravery and courage to proclaim the good news and do the will of God, even when everyone else did not like it. Everyone else does not like when we proclaim the good news and do the will of God. I actually think from my experience of being in a church and being around Christian folk, that the act of doing the will of God may be harder sometimes than proclaiming the good news. It may be easy to tell people, love God, I love God, and let them make their own decision to do it or not. It may be easy to share with people my belief and let them make their own decision to join in with me or not. But Jesus, again, calls us to lose our lives for his sake. So Jesus calls us to do love, to do justice, to show grace, to show mercy. Sometimes doing these things can be the uncomfortable part and seem not beneficial for us at the moment. Sometimes doing the will of God is doing the unpopular thing. Jesus did the unpopular thing when he healed on the Sabbath. Jesus did the unpopular thing when he refused to rebuke the woman caught in adultery. Jesus did the unpopular thing when he ate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus did the unpopular thing when he talked with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus doing the unpopular thing is what I imagine was Jesus bringing a sword. Paul refers to the sword in Ephesians 6:17 as the word of God. My definition of the word of God is just, it expands more than just the Bible. My definition includes the guidance of God's Holy Spirit that lives within me. So in order for me to be in touch with the word of God, to be in touch with the Holy Spirit and hear God's voice, I need to be in relationship with God. And in order for me to be in relationship with God, I need to spend time with God so I can know God. So I recently had a conversation with one of my students. I work at the Durham VA and I teach spiritual care to Divinity School students and graduates of Divinity School And one of my students is working on listening to God. She's very busy. She stays busy and busy and likes to just work to keep her mind preoccupied. And I asked her, how do you hear God? And so she started to make this her goal, and she started to reflect on this. And she told me last week that she discovered the more that she spends time with herself, the more she knows herself. And the more she spends time with God, the more she knows God. And she discovered by her knowing herself and her knowing God, it helps her to decipher between her own voice and God's voice. And sometimes we hear our own voice and say, God told us what we really told ourselves. But as we know God, we can know and decipher God's voice. I know God to be the God of love, of justice, of mercy and grace. I know God to be the creative one and the one who is present in and with all creation. And so my knowledge of God helps me to decipher God's voice and hear the Holy Spirit's guidance. You are being called by God to go out to your community, your people, your family, your friends, to proclaim the good news and do the will of God. You may not be liked by others for how God is leading you. You may find yourself saying and doing the unpopular things. But everything you do and say will be for the ultimate goal of peace. Blessed are you who are the peacemaker. You can bravely confront those around you and declare God's terms to make others whole. You can actively work to bring peace and reconciliation where there is hatred and enmity. You are who Jesus was thinking about when he taught his followers how to pray and say, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God is using you, the peacemaker, to be part of making this prayer a reality. All creation will be recognized for its value and its purpose. All creation will praise the Lord. All creation will work together harmoniously for the good of all. The kingdom of heaven is near as we spread more of God's love by proclaiming and becoming God's love. Amen. You are now invited into a time of prayer. As the music ministry comes up, during this time, you can come to the front. I will be up front, an elder will be in the back to pray with you if you so desire. You can come to the altar to pray. I encourage you all to think about how you can leave this place on a mission to be a peacemaker.